All right, Brad's tweeting in. He's like, that's enough of the Pelican slander. He's a big fan of the Pelican. And I guess he sent me a Deadspin piece. I'll read it at some point, saying that Pelicans, I guess, are really cool, according to this guy. And we've kind of opened the well here because a lot of people are writing in saying, guys, like the Raptors aren't that cool. That was based on Jurassic Park. They had a fan vote in.
Yeah, that's...
And because Jurassic Park was popular at that time, people chose the Raptors. The Blue Jays, kind of a weak bird. Like the Blue Jays,
it's not
a...
attractive bird, though, isn't it? Kind of a cool little
bird.
I don't
know.
Yeah, we did open a can of worms, right?
Yeah.
The Raptors, Pelicans... Pelicans is still a bad name.
It's brutal. Here's Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst. What's the worst type of bird? What bird do you hate the most?
It's a good question. You know, I think the one that keeps dropping on my car. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, every single day I go out there, there's this bird that just is making a mess all over my car. So whatever that one is, that's the worst one.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Probably like a pigeon.
A pigeon or a seagull or something. Like, why do we need those?
Yeah, we don't, honestly, right? I mean, it's nice to see them soaring through the sky and that, but it's a mess afterwards. You know what? Geese are a problem. They're a big problem in Connecticut, and all over the sports fields. Like, they leave a mess. And then your kid goes out there and he's diving to make tackles on it, and he's coming up with geese poop all over.
Yeah.
That's a big one for me, too.
I got to ask you something. I saw a picture on Twitter today of Scott Boras, and he was holding court. And there was 7 million people listening to this guy. Is he that powerful of a guy in baseball?
He is. Just ask him. He'll tell you. look, he has created, you know, sort of this image. But he represents a lot of the high-powered players. You start calculating the 5% for every guy out there. And yet, he's not perfect in what he does, but people tend to want to hear what he thinks, and they want to hear what he thinks about the market, they want to hear what he thinks about the game, they want to hear what he thinks about pace of play. For some reason, now executives in baseball often roll their eyes because we're kind of like, yeah, who cares what he thinks? He doesn't have any impact on this sort of stuff, but the media eats it up a lot, and they tend to ask him just to get his opinion on a lot of different things.
Well, unlike the Jays, who don't really say anything, and we're going to get to the Jays shortly, Brian's got a lot of things to ask you.
Hot take.
But Jeter's already come out. Like, the Jays say nothing, and Jeter's already come out saying, yeah, they're going to shop Stanton. It's just one of those things. We're going to shop him around. Why do not teams not do more of that? It's fairly simple stuff. You're going to shop him, you're not going to shop. But the Jays literally say nothing.
Yeah, I think that I was always of the belief that, you know, I would give a general overview about what I was trying to do, but I thought that knowledge was power. And I didn't really want my competition to know exactly what I was doing, because if they did, they would run up the price. How many times have we seen the Red Sox in on a free agent player, and all of a sudden the Yankees jump in on it, not because they truly have interest, but because they want to run up the price on it. So I always try to keep things close to the vest. Brian Cashman now in New York is really keeping things much closer to the vest than they used to, because knowledge is power, and knowledge is dollars. And I feel like if I'm competing against you, I don't really want you knowing what I'm doing, because I don't want you to get in my way. I don't want you to run the price up on me. And so I figure keeping you in the dark is probably a better way to go. That being said, I think there's some part of the plan that needs to be shared with the fan base so they have some general understanding of expectations for the offseason, and that they're not expecting something, you know, too significant that they feel disappointed at the end, or that they have some reason to hope for next year, and they're not just thinking, well, last year's team's going to be next year's team, and so we'll just, you know, we'll finish in last place again. So there's a fine line to walk there.
Well, and we were talking about the Lorenzo Cain connection to the Blue Jays, and Atkins spoke briefly with the media today, and he had to know that he was going to be asked about that. I mean, everyone's buzzing about it. Lorenzo Cain, a free agent, he's allowed to talk about him. It's not tampering. He can talk about him, and he was asked about it, and he said, quote, I don't know where these rumors come from. I mean, no, I can't answer, end quote. What do you mean, no, you can't answer? You can't acknowledge one way or the other? Because he didn't shoot it down. I mean, he began by acting, again, incredulous that these rumors were out there, and how could they get started, and where could they get started? And if that's the case, I was expecting him to be like, no, we're not in on him. We haven't had any conversations. But he didn't say that. He just said, no, I can't answer. Yeah. What do you mean you can't answer?
It's so funny because I've got the perspective now from both sides, right, that having been a general manager, rumors drove me crazy. Leaks drove me crazy. I mean, crazy to the point that I'm like, you know what, pull up the phone records. I want to figure out who's leaking what and who's talking to whom, because it would drive me crazy. On the other side of it, you have to have some understanding, and I have a much better understanding now about where rumors and leaks come from. When the writers, cite sources, I know where that starts to come from now, where I've got a better understanding now than I did when I was the general manager, because I'm looking at it saying, okay, I know the four people that were in the room when we had this conversation. How is it possible that somebody's reporting this right now? And they're right, and they're reporting it, and I've got a better understanding of the chain of how things start to flow and where they go than where they used to. And so, it can eat you up if you're an executive, but I think there's a way to handle it by saying, look, Lorenzo Cain's a good player. He's one of the guys we're considering among many for our outfield. Whether there's fit there or not remains to be seen, but he's one of the names that's on the list of people that we've at least looked at. I mean, there's a way to say that without in any way, tipping your hand about the level of intensity of your desire for the player.
Well, as for Lorenzo Cain, let's presume these two sides are talking. He's a good player. He's got championship pedigree, being a part of the Royals team for the past number of years. But he will be 32 starting next year. And based on the expected suitors, we're talking anywhere from 3 to 5 year deal at maybe 12 to 20 million, somewhere in that ballpark. I mean, would that make sense for you if you were the Blue Jays?
Yeah, I like Lorenzo Cain. I do. I think that out of Kauffman Field in Kansas City, you're looking at a guy that might generate a little bit more power. You know, that's a very spacious ballpark. Hit 15 homers, stole 29 bases last year, and he's a really good defender. Now, one of the things we know about the Blue Jays, their outfield defense was substandard, certainly in the corners in the outfield. Although even Kevin Pillar's numbers didn't sort of register to the same effect that the diving catches seem to indicate. But Cain could play center, he could play a corner, Pillar could play center, he could play a corner. It's not the kind of corner bat that I would hope to add to the lineup, but he is a legitimate number three hitter. I mean, he's a 300 hitter last year with about a 360 on base percentage in the 15 homers. He does hit doubles. He's a solid player. I kind of look at him as a little bit older and a right-handed hitting Dexter Fowler from a couple years ago that left the Cubs to go to the Cardinals. So, I think he's a four-year deal, somewhere in the, $60, $70 million range, maybe a five-year, $80 million deal. I'd rather not go five. You know, what I've seemed to understand is players who depend upon their legs in a pretty significant way, the older they get, the less those legs are factor, and therefore they start to become more power guys, and he's not really a power player. So a four-year deal for him would seem really reasonable. It seems like the Mets and the Jays seem to be the most interested right now. Seattle and San Francisco have interest as well, although San Francisco more in on Stanton right now than anybody. But it remains to be seen. It's early in this market, and I think that typically the way I look at it is where I think the value is, the price always ends up higher.
So the idea of just getting younger, faster, more athletic, it's free agency, you're just not doing it. So it doesn't even make sense making that comment because...
Well, here's the thing.
Or does it, Steve?
He would make them more athletic, no doubt. He would become, arguably their best outfielder. And that tells you a lot. Like Pillar, I like Pillar a lot in the outfield. I do. I think he's an outstanding defender. I don't love his bat, Kevin Pillar. And so Lorenzo Cain's a better player than Kevin Pillar is. You can have an ideal plan, but in order to afford it, you've got to go somewhere off of that. So we want to get younger, more athletic. All right, but that guy who's 27 and athletic is going to pay a premium, and you may have to pay a premium for him to come to Toronto. So let's take the athletic guy who's a little bit older and see if that doesn't fit, or you take the guy who's younger but not as athletic. But, you come off of the ideal at some point ultimately to make it fit your roster.
Well, and that's where I think it's confusing for a lot of Blue Jay fans, because let's say they do end up committing to Kane and they give him a four-year, $70 million deal. But then they decide, okay, you know what, Donaldson's not going to make sense. How can you not commit to going for it if you keep spending big money on older players
from other teams?
Yeah, you know, like that's how can you explain that to your fans? We gave Morales big money. We're giving Kane big money. We went out and got Pierce. So you're trying to prove to them, no, we're in it to win it the next couple of years. But then you're like, oh, it's not going to make sense for our best player to stick around. How can you do that?
I think it's a tough sell. There's no question. Look, they're in it. They're in an awkward position right now because I think that if not for the 47,000 fans per game that were showing up still in September when school's back in session and the team's almost out of it, people were still showing up. If not for that, and they were drawing 20,000, my guess is that they might make the choice to completely sell and rebuild. But I think they want to honor that fan base, and so they're in a position where they kind of are okay, do we sign Donaldson and go for it and really go all in, or do we try to just tiptoe through this year, sign guys that we know that we can get out of the contract a year from now if we're not going to go for it. So we sign Lorenzo Cain. If after a year we look at it and say we're not going to win, we can't sign Donaldson and we trade him, anybody we get in a trade or that we sign, can we move them on the back end of it? I think there's some part of that calculation. And look, for me, the first priority is an answer on Donaldson. Because I think that if he's only a one-year proposition, if they don't sign Donaldson this offseason, then it's not likely they're going to sign him. Because it will be cheaper this offseason than it will be next offseason when he goes out into free agency in an open market and teams who have money to spend are starting to go after him as a premium player. It's only going to run the price up. So if they don't get a deal done now, then it's not likely they get a deal done. And at that point, I go for it for this year. But all of the other moves I make would be more short-term because I have to consider the fact that I'm going to purge my roster beyond this year. So, for instance, I know they're saying they need versatility in the infield. I personally believe they need an everyday second baseman that can lead off. I don't believe that's Devin Travis right now. He's not given me any reason to believe, one, that he can stay healthy on a consistent basis, and two, that he can consistently produce on a regular basis. So I want a second baseman. I want Devin Travis to be the protection. If the second baseman I get gets hurt, then Devin Travis is the replacement. I don't want somebody to protect me if Devin Travis doesn't stay healthy. So that's and in the way that Ross Atkins is talking, he's talking about we want a versatile infielder who can get 600 at-bats but playing multiple positions. I don't look, because that to me means, okay, I need him in case I need him to back up Devin Travis. I wouldn't go in with that plan because I don't trust the predictability of Devin Travis right now. And so I would go get a short-term proposition at second base in Ian Kinsler in a trade, bring him in for a year. He's older, but I'm going for it for a year anyway, so let's try to win right now. And it gives me a sense of signing Donaldson. Now, if I can sign Donaldson, then I go get D. Gordon, or I trade for a Jason Kipnis, and I put my team together that way where I've got 2 or 3 years to be a really competitive team. But I think a lot hinges on Donaldson, and they haven't even talked to his agent just yet.
That's bizarre, man.
So bizarre. We'll see where it goes. Winter meeting's about a month away. Thank you for this, Steve. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. My pleasure, guys.
Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst.